Unseen Footprints, Encountering the Divine Along the Journey of Life by Sheridan Voysey.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Unseen Footprints podcast. If you have a computer, an iPad or a smartphone handy, why not drop over to SheridanVoysey.com and give me your thoughts as you listen to this. I'd love to know what's going on in your mind as you're listening to what we talk about today, particularly when we talk about such a topic like this, pain, and in particular how pain can lead to spirituality, how it often prompts a spiritual search, which when you think about it is kind of ironic. Really, because most people, when they think about pain, that's almost a reason not to believe in God and spiritual things. But as we'll explore as we continue on together, for a whole bunch of other people, it's an entirely different scenario again. I have a quote from author Douglas Copeland, which is going to become something of a thread for everything that we talk about today. Copeland once said this to an interviewer: "I don't think there's one person who has ever lived who didn't say, 'This isn't working. I need something else.'" I think all of us at some stage have experienced what Douglas Copeland is describing there. In fact, you might resonate with this story that I've got in Unseen Footprints. Here it is from the audiobook. The eccentric figure stares back at me from the newspaper clipping. He is centre frame with Dasher, his former harness racer, standing placidly by his left side. Behind him rests a hand-built cart, standard car wheels, a steel chassis, tin sheet walls and roof, canvas rolled up doors and an upturned gumboot balanced on one of its thin cross braces. This 2-meter-long cart is this nomad's home, a space just long enough to stretch out his swag at night and just wide enough to allow Rowdy the dog protection during rainy evenings. For nearly a decade now, Bill has trotted around Australia on this horse and cart, writing poetry and chatting to Rowdy. A child of the bombed generation, his earliest memories shattered by World War II. At the age of 60, Bill harnessed Dashing Romeo, shortened to Dasher to prevent delusions of grandeur, and set out on his solitary journey. Ever since, Bill's been wandering through life, happy to be a self-confessed runaway grandfather. Bill is happy to be the object of fellow travellers' curiosity, and has no plans of stopping anywhere for good just yet. These days, his ultimate ambition is simply to make it to the next waterhole. A wandering soul who trades the career path for wide open roads, relational angst for solitude, suburban banality for a rickshaw cart and a writing pad. I find Bill's journey intriguing and symbolic of the inner restlessness many of us feel. The desire to escape, to seek, to ditch life and set out on a new unknown pathway aided by the kindness of strangers. So perhaps, just like Bill, you've wanted to run away and escape, to get away from it all. If so, I'd imagine I know the broad reason why. For a number of years, the West Australian newspaper ran a really interesting column. It was called Alternatives Today, and it recounted the stories of people who had ditched their materialistically dominated life and set out for a more spiritual path. When I lived in Perth, Western Australia, and I was reading the West Australian newspaper, I started collecting these columns, mainly for research. I wanted to know what they revealed about today's spiritual seeker. I think I clipped almost all of those columns, collecting the stories of people like Maureen, a grandmother who was diagnosed with cancer and given 2 years to live. She had begun attending psychic development classes to try and make sense of it all. Or Paul, 31 years of age, who had a drug addiction and a failing business when he began searching for answers by consulting spirit guides. Or Martin, who couldn't cope after his relationship breakdown and was now spending hundreds of dollars every month for the advice of his life coach. And the stories just piled up, person after person whose interest in the spiritual had been catalyzed by an experience of physical or emotional pain. Still, I knew of others who had experienced no such trauma, yet they'd still gotten all spiritual, they'd still gotten religious. I think of an author of a globally popular book who wondered why his success didn't satisfy his longing for significance. Then there was the 20-something man that I heard about who joined a psychic tour of the United Kingdom, hoping to find some kind of answers to life, why he was here, why the world was here. Or the mid-40s woman who was wandering around the Mind-Body-Spirit Festival in her city 1 year, yet she was still searching for the book or the seminar or the experience that would click for her. Physical or emotional pain just wasn't part of the story for these folks, but they still felt a pain of sorts, and I describe it in Unseen Footprints as the ache of an empty soul. Just like Douglas Copeland, remember what he said? There isn't a person who has ever lived who didn't say, this isn't working, I need something else. Just like Copeland, these people had come to the point of recognizing that something was missing, something that they desperately needed, despite the good health and prosperity in their lives. Now, there is an irony to all of this, of course. As I was saying at the outset, for many people, the existence of pain is the very reason why they can't believe in God or spiritual things. How does that famous phrase go? If there is a good and loving God, why is there so much pain in the world? It's a significant question. It's not one to be dismissed or ridiculed. It's one to be faced honestly. Yet, for other people, that's not the question they're asking. For them, pain is the very thing that gets them searching for spiritual reality in the first place. Searching for something more. Searching for God. I think we could talk about pain for a long time, and greater minds than mine have tackled it and found it very, very difficult a topic to get to grips with. But if I've learned anything, I think it's this, that pain does, on a broad scale, have a purpose. And its purpose is to alert us to the fact that all is not as it should be in our lives and in our world. As I say in Unseen Footprints, pain grips us by the shoulders. It looks us straight in the eye and it screams at us, you cannot ignore me. You must deal with the questions that I'm raising. Or to put it in the more eloquent words of C.S. Lewis, God whispers to us in our pleasure, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And perhaps God uses pain to rouse a deaf world to start thinking about another world, a world where aching hearts and dissatisfied souls will be fully healed and fulfilled. Perhaps God uses pain to draw us to him, the great healer, the great fulfiller. One of the projects I have in the new edition of Unseen Footprints is a series of exercises to help you write a spiritual memoir. One of the components of this is describing the event that brought you to want something more out of life, the event that started you on your spiritual search. In scriptwriting terms, this is what they call the inciting incident, the event that propels the lead character into their grand quest. Well, here's my question for you today. What has been your spiritual inciting incident? When did you first get interested in spiritual things? Like Maureen, Paul, or Martin, was an experience of physical or emotional pain involved for you? Or was your pain, quote-unquote, the ache of an empty soul? Did you have everything but still feel unfulfilled deep within? I have spoken to so many people in that situation, I wouldn't be surprised if that's also your story. Certainly was my story. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in the coming podcasts. Perhaps you've believed in God, gone to church, prayed since you were a young person. Was there an experience, though, that forced you to own this faith personally? If so, what was that? Because in many ways, that could be seen as your inciting incident, I guess your spiritual defining moment, your spiritual turning point. I think there are three good reasons for doing this exercise, for recalling your spiritual inciting incident. A, it may reveal a moment when you actually encountered God, when God was actually whispering to you, calling you to him. And that's always a very exciting thing to recognize. B, it may help you understand subsequent spiritual experiences. Our spiritual life is often shaped by our beginnings. And C, it may help you to see if you're avoiding the issue altogether. Douglas Copeland said that almost no one gets through life without realizing they need something more, but that doesn't stop us seeking diversions and distractions for a while in the meantime, and often to our own detriment. So, what role has pain played in your spiritual life? What was the event or the experience that prompted your search for God? I'd love to know. Tell me your story, give me your thoughts, air your questions, sheridanvoisey.com is my blog site address. That's also where you can get your free chapters of Unseen Footprints if you haven't downloaded them already, or purchase your copy of the book, the ebook, or the audiobook. I've loved hearing how many people have been giving Unseen Footprints to their spiritually interested friends and family members as a gift. Just love to hear that kind of scenario. I'm going to share a little bit more of my own story in the next episode of the Unseen Footprints podcast. The topic then will be yearning. I believe there are four things the human soul yearns for, and I discovered at least three of those yearnings in a nightclub one night. Thanks for listening. Join me again then.
Unseen Footprints, encountering the divine along the journey of life, by Sheridan Voisey. Please visit sheridanvoisey.com to share your thoughts in this book and explore other resources.